Before I get started, I'd like to just pray. Father God, I thank you for your goodness and your love. I thank you the fire of the Holy Spirit, and I ask you that that fire and the anointing of the word, the anointing of an evangelist would go forth, and that word would receive, and the anointing would destroy every yoke. Father, I thank you for the word you put in me, and that you would just help me to present this in a way that is received. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So last week, if you didn't get to hear John's message, you can go on Facebook and listen to it. But I like to kind of build on it listening to it. And he brought out last week that sin will leave scars and there needs to be healing. And sin is the result of not trusting God. And a lot of times it's taking matters into your own hands. And when you do that, when you don't trust God, it leads to sin. Because God is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says. But if you are given a temptation, maybe you get impatient. But I'm here to tell you today that God is the God he says he is. He is the God of every day. He is the God that will not leave you nor forsake you. He will lead you and he will guide you, and don't ever doubt that he will not do what he says he would say. In his word, you will find the truth, and that truth is going to set you free from every bondage, every temptation, no matter what it is. So today, what I'd like to do is my text, what we're going to read here. My goal is to help maybe transform some thought patterns or some things that we develop along the way that would keep us from trusting God. So if you would like to turn, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 7 through 21. It's a little bit long, but I'm going to... what I feel led to open up with. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son in the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, he lives in them and they in God. And so they know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in him lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Now that's a sermon itself, isn't it? Maybe another time. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We have love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Okay, there's a lot in that scripture, a lot in that passage. But today, what I want to focus on is God, the character of God, who God is, and try to develop an image in our minds, in our heart, of our Father. What I want to focus on is the fact that God is love. Okay? God is love. You could almost say, if he had DNA, that that's his DNA. you can't help, he can't help but to love, because that's who he is. That's his very essence. That's his presence. That's his being. You could say he oozes with love. Okay, not only that, it is perfect love. It's not distorted love. It's not imperfect love. It is perfect love. And the word says that perfect love will drive out fear. That perfect love lives within you. If you accepted Christ, he lives within you by the Holy Ghost. And that love resides in you. Now, a lot of times we have an image of a father. It may not be. A lot of times, if you look through, because of circumstances of life, maybe it's the road you walk, the childhood you had growing up, it don't matter what it is, but we don't usually have a true image of a father. A perfect father. That image is perverted. And the enemy has done his best ever since creation in the Garden of Eden to pervert that image of our Heavenly Father. If you remember, he came to Adam and Eve and he said, "Did God really say? Isn't he holding out on you? Well, he won't do what he said." Well, that same lie he's been presenting to us ever since. That comes back to the message John was saying, is he's trying to get us to doubt that God is who he said he is. Get my notes here. So let's talk about God's image a minute. How do we get an image of God that is different? We got to renew our mind, renew it daily by the word and the washing of God, because God gave us commandments. Let's look at just the basic commandments of the Ten Commandments, a couple of them. You know, they aren't commandments for him to judge us. That's not the purpose of those commandments. Those commandments are given to us so that we can live free, okay? Free from the curse of this world. He said, do not steal, okay? Well, let's say you're hungry, okay, and you're walking through the street, you're starving, you're looking for something to eat, you're homeless, you don't have anything, you don't have any money, but you're hungry, and you come upon this little fruit market. You've got this big display of apples, big shiny apples. Well, the enemy is going to come. God provided you a display of apples. Just take one. Go ahead, take it. Will he really provide for you? Will he really feed you? God said, trust me. Do not steal, because I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide you to the full and to the overflowing. You will not lack. But the enemy wants to rob you of that trust in the Father. So now we start having a little image of, okay, can I trust the Father? Or can I trust the Father? You can take anything. He says, do not commit adultery. All right. He's going to provide for you. You don't have to enter into lust. See, the enemy plants that seed. It's a seed of distrust, a seed of doubt. And if watered, it will grow, it will flourish, and you will walk into that temptation. We have to trust the Father that he will do what he said he will do. You even can take another example. It says, I want you to give your tithe to me. Not to take your money, but to honor me. And you're saying, I trust you with my finances. He says, even test me and see. The one time he says, test me and see if I'm not good and I will not do what I said I would do. It's to the point that I will pour out such a blessing in your life that you will not have room for it. Okay, not that you can just bring it all in and settle it and hold it, but so that you can pour it out and be a blessing. See, God intended us to be a pitcher. Not a picture, but a P-I-T-C-H-E-R, a picture. He fills us up to overflowing so that we can be poured out. Yeah. He wants to pour us out. We can't stand there full and not pour out. What happens to water that stays in a container and never empties? It gets stagnant. He didn't intend for us to be filled up with His Spirit and with His blessings to be stagnant in life, but to be poured out and refilled continually, because He said, out of our bellies comes a river flowing. That river is the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. I got a dry throat. So I want to, let's take a little deeper look at the Father's heart. Because what I want to do today is try to present, and let's get a picture of our Father, our Heavenly Father, the Father He is, and try to get an understanding that we can trust Him no matter what, okay? To the point, let's say you went over there and you leaned on that wall. You put your whole weight on that wall and you lean on it. You lean on it with all your weight because you believe no matter what, that wall will not let you fall. You will not drop to the ground. Well, that's the kind of Father we have. We can lean on Him totally, completely, for everything, and He will not let you drop to the ground. I don't care what it is in life. He will take your ashes and bring something beautiful out of it. If you doubt that, come talk to me, I'll tell you. So let's take a look here. I want to take a look at one of my favorite Bible heroes, and that's David. Now, David had his issues and stuff through life, and usually when that happened, it's another example of he started not to trust God to be who He said He would be in his life. But at all that, David, according to God, was a man after His own heart. Okay? And I want to look at why is that? What is it about David that he was a man after his own heart? Well, that's the perfect example. I mean, here's David. David, he walked with God. He was a shepherd boy. We find out David, grown up, he spent time with God. Okay, he was out and being the shepherd, he was the youngest, and he was taking care of the father's sheep, and he got to know God. He got to know the covenant, the Old Testament of God, who he was, who the Israelites were. So when he shows up one day, taking provisions to his brothers that were in the army of Israel, they come here out there being taunted by Satan through a big old giant, Goliath. That's right, John. And they came out there, and the army of Israel, they were the children of God, just like David, but they didn't know God, they doubted God. They would not go out there and face that giant. They were enveloped by fear. Even King Saul did not know who he was. He feared the giant. Now David, he comes up there, little old David, a boy. He says, "What's the deal? Don't you know who you are? Isn't there a cause? This guy is defying the armies of Israel, and you aren't going out to fight him? Just let me at him. Let me at him. I can see him. Let me at him." Well, he goes out there, and what's he do? He's running out there. He's telling that giant, "I know who you are. You uncircumcised Philistine, you have no covenant with God, but I have a covenant with God. And that covenant says you will not defy the armies of Israel. And I tell you what I'm going to do today. I'm going to come out there, I'm going to take your head off." And what's he do? He went out there and took that head off of that giant because he knew his Father. He knew the Heavenly Father of Israel. So let's backtrack or fast forward here a little bit. David was anointed to be king. And in that anointing and stuff, he was in opposition to the current leader, Saul, King Saul. But he got to become friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. And this is where we're going to start to see a little bit of the heart and of the Father. I'm going to read that. If you want to flip, that's fine. It's 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 14 through 17. It says, show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. This is Jonathan talking to David at the time. Jonathan knows that David's going to be king eventually, and so he's talking to him. And the interesting thing about this, show me the Lord's kindness. Now, I'm not a Greek or Hebrew scholar, so I don't always get these words correct in the pronunciation. But there's the Hebrew word for that word kindness is hesed. Now, that's just not any word of kindness, but that is a word that represents God's love. Get a little bit of a definition here to help you. We need a bigger stand. Okay. That hesed, love, is mercy, kindness, loving kindness, goodness, and favor. So what he's saying is, I want you to show me the Lord's goodness and mercy and loving kindness and favor. I find that interesting. He said, I want you to show me the Lord's goodness, kindness. Jonathan evidently had a little bit of revelation there about the Lord's goodness. And it says here, so that I may not be killed, and do not ever cut off your kindness, your hesed, from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan that had David reaffirm his oath of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. So what we see here, they went into a covenant. Now, a covenant, that's another message about the depth of a covenant, to try to understand the covenant, because we live in the new covenant. Okay, there was the old covenant, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the new covenant. And if we could just get a grasp on what that means, the closest thing we have to a covenant in today's society would be a contract. You go get a loan at the bank, they're going to get you to sign 50 papers saying you will, and if you don't, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But they're constantly broken. A covenant, they took it so seriously that they went into this covenant, and it was a thing of shedding the blood, but it was for them and their family, and it was not to be broken, period, because if it was, then whoever broke it, the other one was obligated to kill the family. There was a punishment for it. They would chase them down. Okay, there was a price to be paid. They would call curses down on each other in the process of making this covenant. So this covenant that they went into was not a light thing. It was into for their whole family. All right, now let's fast forward time a little bit. Here's David. He becomes king. Saul is killed. Jonathan is killed. And here we are. We fast forward, but David remembers his covenant with Jonathan. So we flip over to 2 Samuel, and we see a story, and David's asked, this is 9th chapter of 2 Samuel, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness, hesed, for Jonathan's sake? This is for the house of Saul, for Jonathan's sake. This is, he's remembering the covenant, and he's being driven by the passion in his heart to show kindness no matter what, the God kindness to someone in Saul's house for Jonathan's sake. Well, in that process, there's a servant. It's called forth. His name is Ziba. Take the time to read this little chapter here, because it's amazing. It represents, it's really a good picture of the heart David had representing God's heart. Remember, David is a man after my own heart. So here he is. David could have forgotten about it. As far as he's concerned, Saul's family doesn't exist. He's king. He's winning battles. But he's eaten up inside, wanting to show his seed love, kindness, mercy to someone. So he finds out that there is a son of Jonathan called Mephibosheth living down in the town of Lodabar. So he sends out a delegation. Now, they went out to bring him back. So you can imagine, Mephibosheth's been told the king's going to kill the family, because that's what they did back then. The king that won just wiped out the whole family because he didn't want any opposing force coming back. So you can imagine, if you were in Mephibosheth's place, he was crippled. It says his feet, he was crippled in his feet. He was sent, they sent for him. So they show up to bring him back. Okay, so I'd heard about this. I heard about this David, and I'm about the only one, I guess, that's surviving. So they bring him back to Jerusalem, where David is. And David says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness, his seed, for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table as one of my sons. So from this point on, Mephibosheth was brought in. Why? Because of a covenant relationship, and he remembered that covenant for the sake of Jonathan. He was brought back, and he always ate at the king's table. Now, he also provided this Ziba that it had like a bunch of sons and servants, and they were to farm the land that he gave back and take care of it. But he restored everything that was lost. It was brought back. You're starting to see the picture of the father's heart. He wants restored what was taken. He wants brought back what was stolen. He wants us to have everything that was lost in the fall. Jesus paved the way. See, there is a covenant now between the Father and Jesus. It's not between the Father and us, but the Father has this desire to show mercy and loving kindness and love for Jesus' sake. Not for our sake, but for Jesus' sake. So, you know, the enemy tries to make you feel good. You don't deserve anything. You're right, we don't deserve anything. But I want to tell you here, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. This whole thing is about Jesus. Jesus laid his life down. He was crucified, risen back to life. He now sits at the right hand of the Father as an advocate for us. So when you're tempted, you hear that, oh, will God really provide? Will he do this? Will he do that? Will he heal me? Will he do this? Do not doubt the word of God, because that word is true, it is final, and it is held up because God wants to restore, for the sake of Jesus, everything that Jesus has. See, we were joint heirs with Jesus. What Jesus has, we have. Okay? A lot of times the Bible says we have because we don't ask. Well, all right. Yeah, we have a lot of religious traditions sometimes, maybe, and I'm just going to hit this lightly, but maybe there's something, and we know he meets our needs, but how should we ask for anything and everything? It doesn't say not to ask. It just says he will, if it's not according to his will, he won't get it. But how do we know maybe it's according to his will unless we ask? It don't hurt to ask. Did you ever, as a kid, they come up to mom and dad, they said, hey, I need this, I want this, I desire this. Well, they're not bashful about it. They don't care whether they might say no or they might say yes. They are bold, enter the throne with boldness. They come to their dad and they ask with boldness, hey, dad, can I have this? Or will you do this for me? Well, we have a loving Father that will bestow unto us everything that Jesus has. And like I said, it's to be a pitcher so we can pour out. I want to just finish up here with a passage. Here's if you have notes. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. Okay, you're familiar with the verse. Here again, we have a Greek word. We are saved. Okay, that word, maybe I don't pronounce it right because I'm not a Greek scholar. It's S-O-Z-O, sozo. Is how I'll pronounce it. But it is, that word means to heal, preserve, save, protect, and make whole. So if it says that you have been saved, you can also say that you have been healed, you have been preserved, you have been protected, and you are made whole. You notice in that scripture it did say, it did have the word have, past tense. So it was done. It's one package, guys. Okay, by his stripes we have been healed. We don't earn salvation. We don't earn healing. We don't earn. It is part of the love of the Father through who's the covenant with? The Father and the Son. So we have free access. So Jesus is our mediator. He is the way. So God didn't intend for us to go out and try to make things happen all on our own. He wants us to lean and rely on him. That's what he wants. Look at Israel. So many times, so you got the Red Sea. They get up there was no way through, but he made a way where there was no way. He opened up the sea and they crossed through. They were to go into the promised land 40 years earlier, but you had the spies that said, hey, this is a great place, but we got giants. And Caleb and Joshua said, hey, no problem, God is with us. They're probably thinking, hey, we just went through the Red Sea, you fed us manna, you brought water from a rock, you had all the plagues in Israel, this is our God, what are giants? We have a giant slaying God. So that was no problem for them. We have Gideon. You know, the Midianites, I think, were opposing Israel at the time, and God wanted to liberate them now, and so he calls Gideon. He was like the least of all Israel, the least of his clan, the least of the tribes, and he called them up, and instead of 30,000 going up there, 300 went out and defeated. Actually, God defeated them for him. He went in and fought for them. So if you're facing anything in life, I don't care what it is, don't buy into the temptation that you got to do it in your own strength and your own power, because you're going to fall short and you're going to end up probably doing something you don't want to do in disobedience to God. But you follow God and he will set you free. You could even have, okay, let's look at, he'll meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. Hey, there's no shortage there. Okay, but how many times too, is we might say, but he really won't do this, he won't do that. So what do we do? Now all of a sudden, instead of worshiping him, believing him, he wants us to live by faith. Now, you have to put works to your faith. You can't just sit there and say, I believe God will do this, okay? Gideon, they even had to go out and at least go around the camp and surround the place. They didn't sit in the camp and say, woohoo, God's going to deliver us. They had to at least go out there and shatter the jugs. So they had to put some works to their action. So what I'm saying here, God will meet your needs, but don't limit God. Because so many times what we do in this world we live in, we'll go out there. Now all of a sudden, we don't have time for church. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to get in his word and renew his mind. Because why? We don't trust God to prosper us in our lives. So we put it in our own hands, and now we don't have time. because we're so busy trying to do what we don't think God will do for us. Okay? So we got to take the time to know the Father, renew our mind, because the enemy, ever since we've been born, has been trying to work doubt into our minds and say, does God really care? Will God really do? It comes in many forms. It comes from our upbringing, maybe, or the experience in life, religion. There's a good one. How much time is a religion? Well, it sounds really good, but here we have. What's it say? You have a form of God, but you're denying the power thereof. You're denying the power of the Holy Ghost to work in your life, for God to be God and to love you the way He wants to love you. So rely on God, trust on God, that He will provide and do what He said He will do, because there is truth in that word. But you're going to have to take time to renew this thing up here and then get it down here. Okay? Knowledge isn't going to do you a whole lot of good. It's got to get in here. And Proverbs says, out of the mouth will come the abundance of the heart. You want to know what's in someone's heart? Listen to them a little bit. You'll soon know what's in their heart. Their heart will condemn them real quick. So if you want, the best thing you can do is speak God's word. God loves it when His kids speak His word, pray His word, remind Him of what He has said, and He will perform. He will do for us. It's amazing what He will do. All right, I'm out of time, but that's good. I'm probably out. I'm out of words too. But I don't care what it is. If you need healing, you don't have to earn healing. You just have to receive it. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit filled with fire and power, you don't have to earn it. If you're born again, your sins have been wiped away, and it's a gift for you. You just have to receive it as a gift. Everything God has is a gift to be received. You want to live in this life full of power and strength of the Holy Ghost? I'm just going, I got to say this. He said, we live on this earth, I remember that, as Jesus. You want to see what you're supposed to be like? You start reading the Gospels and find out what Jesus was like when He lived this earth. He was not timid. He was not afraid. But He only said and He only did what He heard the Father say and the Father do. You want to know what to do in this life? Get with the Father and get to know Him. And then if you want to raise the dead, you'll raise the dead. If you want to heal the sick, you'll heal the sick. You will walk in love and you will be and you will walk. You will be Christ-like. We are to be Christians. That word Christian is Christ-like. And where Christ is, the anointed one. The anointed one lives within you, and so does His anointing. You can't separate the anointed one from the anointing. They are a package deal. All right. I can't let this go. If anyone needs prayer, needs set free of anything at all, whether it's the lies of the enemy in your head, it's healing, it's depression, come up and we'll pray for you. God will set you free. Given, He'll do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He'll do it. So, it's open up here. I'm finished. But I'll pray for anyone that wants prayed for. Praise God. To God be the glory.
Amen. And he means that. If you today want prayer, we're going to stay here at the altar and be available for you, just to seek with you. The things that I really is a takeaway from what Paul said that really spoke to me today is, you know, we do get so busy in everything else, and we fail to take the time to seek God, get into His Word, and find out what He is like and what He says is right. You know, when we when we seek God and we get into His Word, we find out not only what God is like, but because of what we also find out what is right. That is, what is right for us to do. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? You know, that scripture that that speaks to us being called to live the way God wants us to live so that He can pour out those blessings into our life. You know, I told Kim this morning as we were getting ready for church, and I had Charles Stanley on the TV. He once again repeated the phrase that I have as a takeaway from him that has spoke to my life over and over again, and what Paul said today. When you do what is right, you can leave all the consequences up to God. When you do what is right, you can trust that God is there to fight for you. And you know, we sang about that today, how God fights for us, how God seeks us, how when we're willing to do what's right, we can leave it up to God to provide. We can leave it up to God to do what He says He'll do. And that is when we learn to trust. Amen. When we know Him that well, that we can really trust with all our heart. That's my prayer today. And if it's yours, let's stand together. That we want to trust in the Lord with all our heart. In order to do that, we need to know Him better. We need to know Him as He is. And so we pray as we close today in worship that God again just opens the eyes of our heart and shows us Abba Father, that shows us who He is, and that we can trust in Him, that He will do what He says, that we do what He says and leave everything else up to Him. The scriptures say that if we indeed seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything else will be provided for us. Amen? Amen. Let's just enter into that today. And again, the altar's open. If you need to leave, that's great. That's fine. No problem. But we just want to spend another couple of minutes with anybody that wants special prayer. Let's sing time.